Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's a Thursday here on the Blog and the Boys Podcast Network, and that means it's time to get riled up on the Cowboys with my man Tom Ryle and your boy Roy White. And while there are some Cowboys news and nuggets to nibble on, potential players that might be being added and brought into the mix that I think would have Cowboys fans somewhat intrigued, and we'll get to those here in just a little bit, Tom, it's kind of impossible not to start with the news that has come out from the NFL owners' meetings. Now, somewhat conflicting reports, it should be noted, but according to Ian Rapoport, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have mutually agreed to basically play this season out as they have it and leave things where they stand at the end of the season. This has obviously sent shockwaves through the organization, through the media as well, because this was a little bit of an unexpected decision, at least one that would be announced at this time at the NFL owners' meetings. Then again, perhaps we shouldn't put it past the Joneses to take any opportunity to get their names in the headlines as one that they will not resist. But having said that, Tom, your initial reaction and thoughts to, you know, that report from Ian Rapoport, and again, as I mentioned, there are conflicting reports, as we'll get into here as we go on.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to mind was that it's like the Cowboys just have a completely different view of how to go about doing business. You'd think that if you have a franchise quarterback, and whatever you may think of it, Dak Prescott is the franchise quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He's proven they can lead them to winning records. He does seem to hit a wall in the playoffs, although he certainly is joined by a lot of company when the whole team kind of flounders, as we've seen happen repeatedly. But normally when you have a quarterback like that, you know, you have to sit down. You have to make a decision as the ownership. Is this the franchise quarterback or not? If you decide that he is, then you have to go forward and try and figure out how do you get him signed to a new deal, because we plan to play with him for another 3-4 years or whatever the extension is going to be. Contact his representation, figure out the opening stances for both sides, start going with some negotiations, do some back and forth. You can show a little bit of urgency about trying to get this done now when it's kind of the dead time outside of the draft activities, and you can kind of focus your negotiating team on getting the deal done. Even if you can't work out something expeditiously, you're buying yourself time to still get it done before the season starts, so that you got everything in place, especially really for training camp. That's what you want to do, is go into training camp, everything's said, everything's done, everybody's happy, you're ready to go, and everybody's focused on getting ready to go and play games that count. The Cowboys just don't do it that way. They seem to play a waiting game, which is kind of what Rapoport said, that they're all just going to kind of sit and wait. And he, you know, then he opens up the whole thing that, well, maybe they're setting up to move on from Dak, which, you know, it's puzzling, a little bit alarming. You know, the chances of coming up with a better answer at quarterback for this, for 2025, let's assuming that's what this is all about, the chances of coming up with an improvement at the quarterback position for next year are very small. First off, the Cowboys don't have a lot of draft capital. I don't see this team cratering to be in the sweepstakes to try to get a top two, top three draft pick that you normally want to have going in to find your new franchise quarterback. So they're going to go in with mediocre fodder, you know, because the things kind of seem to be lining up that the Cowboys are likely to regress a little bit in the win total and be in that probably around that dreaded 8.5 over under range.
Well, right now, it might surprise you to know, right now Vegas has them at a higher over under win total than they were last year.
Really?
Last year they were at 9.5. Right now Vegas has got them at 10, which is, I think, surprising to a lot of people, but it also speaks to, I think, maybe the quality of the rest of the NFC. I wouldn't feel good about that bet.
Yeah,
myself.
And a 10-7 record is okay. You're in the wild card hunt, really. That's not a great way to look at things. So, yeah, that's not all that much better. You know, that's only a game and a half over the 8.5 mark.
One thing I would say, like, what really frustrates me about this approach from the Cowboys front office, before we get into the rest of the ramifications of it, it's that Jerry is a guy who preaches himself having made his fortune on his gut, on making a decision, going with it, and trusting it. And yet, when it comes to these negotiations, they are fence straddlers. They are wafflers. They can't decide which of the two they want to go with. Ultimately, they wind up putting themselves into a position where oftentimes, at least in recent history, they've been forced to make the deal work. Ezekiel Elliott comes to mind when they didn't have a backup option and they were basically forced to give him an extension to get him back on the team and have an opportunity that season. This feels very much the same way. The same thing with the DeMarcus Lawrence extension. You kind of got forced into that situation. And that is how the Cowboys so often play it, which is why, again, it's extremely frustrating for me to see that waffling take place, which is seemingly, again, what they're doing here, as you described, leaving the door open in their minds to either move on from Dak Prescott or bring him back. And unfortunately, that's not how it works when two parties have to be involved to make it a long-term deal work.
Yeah, they seem very afraid to walk through one door because that closes the other door. And it's like they want to keep all of their options open as long as they can. And that's why we get all these confusing statements. Like, okay, they said they have a mutual agreement with Dak Prescott about his contract situation. Well, what does that mean? What have they agreed to? They're not saying anything. What we get is just another bowl full of word salad from Jerry Jones that can be interpreted in multiple ways, as we're going to look at how this may be taken in a different way. Somebody else has come up with something else. But we've got no clarity. Instead, we've got the thought that, you know, gosh, you know, they could roll into next season with a rookie quarterback. And there is no such thing as a sure thing rookie quarterback. Even if you have the number one overall pick, you can grind down and pick the guy that you think is the best chance. There is always a possibility he is just not going to cut it at the next level. We've seen that happen time and again. There is no surefire quarterback coming out of college, and oftentimes the most successful ones are taken much later. You know, Tom Brady comes to mind. You know, that's just the way it is. And
situation matters for rookie quarterbacks. Like,
yes,
and I guess on that note, I mean, they would have a decent situation for a rookie quarterback to come into if that's the place we got to. But
not
again.
Not the best, because it's almost like Jerry and Stephen Jones are trying to kind of hamstring things a little bit as they continue their amazingly pernicious or parsimonious ways of approaching free agency, just not wanting to do anything significant to improve the roster. Betting on the draft in a year when you've only got 7 picks and only 3 of them are considered premium picks, with, you know, the other 4 all being late 5th round or later, where you very seldom find a serious contributor to the team. You know, you do every now and then, but at most, maybe you're going to get 1 out of that, you'd think. So it's like, what are they doing here? You know, There are, as Rappaport said, there's a possibility that they are looking to a rebuild in 2025. You know, throw out the coaching staff, bring in some new guys, get a new quarterback, maybe some other, you know, revisions on the roster, and, you know, all with the cap firmly in mind, because that's so precious to Stephen Jones. And you can see how that might have been a decision that was driven by the way they exited the playoffs, thanks to the Green Bay Packers loss. They might have just concluded that Dak is not going to get them where they need to get. But, you know, are they really making these decisions from a football viewpoint? Dallas continues to be the most valuable sports franchise in the world. The Joneses have a diversified portfolio that don't depend, seemingly at all, on winning on the field, because everybody still wants to watch the Cowboys either win or lose. They're pulling one way or another. They're probably the most polarizing team in the league. And the Cowboys, over time, as I keep coming back, that seems to be one of my recurring themes, they have morphed from being the Dallas Cowboys football team to being Cowboys Inc. They are just about bottom line decisions. What makes more money for the Joneses? And sadly, they seem to look at every dollar they pay out to a player as a dollar that's taken out of their fund for upgrading the yachts or the gerrycopter or whatever they're doing with all that money. And so it's like, you know, you've got a brilliant businessman who convinced himself he was a brilliant football guy, and it turns out he really wasn't. He was, you know, riding Jimmy Johnson's coattails in the glory years of the 90s. He couldn't stand Jimmy Johnson being the one that all the media was flocking to for pithy quotes. And so now Jerry Jones has claimed the general manager title. He clings to it. He wants that attention. He wants everybody coming to him. He loves to talk and talk and talk. And I don't think he or Steven, who shows a lot of the same characteristics, are really focused on how you win football games. They're just focused on how to make more money. And it's just not working out so far.
Well, I mean, I agree with that to an extent. But in terms of specifically Dak Prescott, wouldn't the easy money-making decision be to pay Dak what it takes and keep him around and guarantee that the Cowboys are at least relevant, as opposed to potentially what they were, you know, in the early 2000s, which, if you were around to remember, and it's been a while since the Cowboys, like, haven't at least been in the conversation from a competitive standpoint. We've gone almost through two eras of Tony Romo and now Dak Prescott, where we've seen a decade plus of, like, at least competitive Cowboy football. At least not perhaps at the highest level, but competitive Cowboy football.
Especially in the regular season. You know, and
well, particularly in the regular season, unfortunately.
And it's, you know, if there is no real commitment to bring Prescott back, then you have to expect, if he knows that, he's not real committed to being back, or, you know, beyond 2024. He's going to want to play his best, because that directly impacts his value on the open market should he enter it. You know, he has a no trade clause in his contract, but let's face it, if some team came to the Cowboys and started dangling some real high draft picks to try and get a hold of Prescott, looking around, might Prescott not say, hey, I'll waive that no trade clause, send me over there where people might appreciate me and where I might not be so heavily criticized?
There's a world where that is the Cowboys' strategy here. Like, yes, there is a small possibility that is the Cowboys' strategy, that they maybe entice some other team to make that commitment and get them out of, like, what ultimately will be a $40 million dead cap hit if Dak Prescott walks away next season as a free agent, completely scot-free. I guess what I go back to when I mentioned that two sides of the negotiation aspect of it is the Cowboys just think that, like, under whatever circumstances at the end of this season, if they want to bring Dak Prescott back, they'll be able to bring Dak Prescott back. And I grant you that, like, you know, there's maybe not a lot of scenarios where other teams are going to be leaping for him. Perhaps if he doesn't make the playoffs or things go really off the rails, then maybe that allows the Cowboys to bring him back at a lesser number. But if he does exceed the expectations of these past seasons, if he certainly exceeds the end results of these past seasons with a lesser supporting cast, arguably now, than he's had in recent years, there's no way the Cowboys are going to be able to keep him around because someone else is going to come up and pay a higher dollar than they're willing to go.
And you can nowadays, unlike as the past, you can always outbid the Joneses, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, you can. I mean, that the Cowboys don't win an open free agent bidding war.
Now, we have to cover the fact, though, that there has already been pushback against Rapoport's statements about this. I think that Clarence Hill Jr. was saying that, well, he's not hearing that that's how it's going down. And in particular, Josina Anderson, who is showing that she seems to be very well connected and have a good feel for what's going on inside the Star, she said that she has told the team does intend to work out a contract for Prescott. And that they've not closed out getting a deal done this year. They're not necessarily committed to waiting until 2025. That, you know, there's, while the team continues with this agonizing slow roll approach they have of just, you know, showing no urgency, which I think is just positioning on their part, foolish positioning. They do not plan for him to go into free agency. And, you know, if you look at his own history with from his rookie deal to his tag, his extension, and the restructures, it all paints a picture that, no, this is going to work out. And before next year, they are going to get something done. For the next NFL football year, they're going to have him in place at undoubtedly an exorbitant price that they might have been able to do better with had they gotten off the schneid. But anyway, they are, you know, she is just one of several voices that are saying, you know, hold on, Rapoport, you know, he may have been trying to get a little extra attention and stir up things a little bit with his tweet.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Well, I think there are clearly two different factions within the Cowboys organization that, depending on what individual a reporter asks or has insight or intel from, they may get a completely different answer on this inside those Cowboys walls. Because Jory Epstein was on with Matt Harmon, or Jory Epstein, who does a phenomenal job with USA Today covering the NFL. She was on with Matt Harmon, and he talked about that division. And specifically, one of the reasons that maybe the Cowboys expressed that they could perhaps stomach this cap number this season is because the salary cap rose so much higher than teams were anticipating. A lot of teams' cap people anticipated the cap was only going to rise by about $15 million, and that would have been an untenable number, $60 million this season against the cap. However, when it rose by an additional $15 million on top of that, teams decided, and the Cowboys potentially decided that, like, hey, this is now on the table as an option we can consider when previously it wouldn't have even really been on the table. Knowing then what we hear about the reports, which one are you believing? Which one are you buying?
I'm leaning more towards the fact that they think they're going to get something worked out, that they still have a long-term plan with Prescott. It's just that I think they are imperiling that by their own approach. And you talked about there being different camps. I think this is a case of where you've got, unfortunately, the worst division divide you can have, that the ownership seems to be on a not just a different page, but like in a different volume entirely from the head coach. You know, Mike McCarthy wants stability at the quarterback position. He wants to know what he's got to work with, what he's going to have to do. And you can bet that he does not prefer a new quarterback. He wants to bring Dak back. He wants to try to build on some good things we did see at times last season. McCarthy's fighting for his football life with the Cowboys, at least. And he also wants to put a good product on the field in case he's not there, because I don't think he thinks he's going to be done with head coaching after the Cowboys, should he not remain next year, which admittedly looks like it's becoming a more remote possibility, which, some people may cheer that. I'm not so sure myself. But this has to be a strain on McCarthy, because he doesn't just have to worry about his quarterback situation. That's kind of where it all starts. But he's got to look at the whole roster, what his whole team is doing. And it's interesting to note, in light of all of the free agency furor that we go through with the Cowboys, or over their lack of using it, McCarthy talked about the fact that free agency is far from over. It actually has three basic distinct phases. There's pre-draft, then there's post-draft, kind of up to training camp, and then there's what you do after that. You can still add, we've seen the Cowboys add free agents well into training camp. We've seen them bring people in during the season when needs develop due to injuries or other things that come along.
Well, he also mentioned the June 1 cuts. Don't forget about the players who, like, are bigger names in a lot of cases, because they're usually higher salaried players, too high for maybe what their quality is that they're bringing to the table in today's game, but perhaps in a range that suits the Cowboys. I mean, that is the type of bargain bin shopping that, you know, the Cowboys are particular to. So I would keep an eye on those dates specifically.
And there are, since you were mentioning the recent news, there have been reports the Cowboys are still looking at possibly addressing the running back situation with either our old friend Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook. Someone said, well, they could come in to back up a rookie running back drafted to be the starter. I don't think that was how they'd go. I still have this belief, because of the way I could be wrong, but the way I view the running back position is they're so interchangeable. I think they would want to look at, possibly, you've got Rico Dowdle. Okay, he can be your starter, and Ezekiel Elliott could be something that they really needed at times last year, that short down goal line back. You know, you've got 2 yards, you got to get 2 yards. You know, let Elliott go in. He can usually bang out 2.3 yards in that situation and get you a first down. Or, you know, you're
he's
on
the best.
Half.
He's the best at banging out 2.3 yards.
Yeah, or you're on the 1.5 yard line. You know, let him have a shot at it. And that even, you know, if you look at it from McCarthy's viewpoint, okay, you roll that out once or twice as the season gets going, and all of a sudden now, not only can you have Zeke as a higher probability chance on 3rd and 2, hey, go play action. Everybody focus keys on Zeke, and Dak can burn you 20, 30 yards downfield. Or even in the red zone, he can find somebody that's leaked out and is sitting there wide open. So
now, does that mean you're giving up on your boy Lepke?
I'm worried they're not going to trust him in that situation unless he proves on. you know, maybe he'll have a great camp or something. They'll decide to give him another shot. It kind of depends, you know, if they were to get Cook instead of Elliott or just not get anybody, then, you know, maybe they could revisit that. But, you know, Lepke may be destined to be more of the traditional fullback guy when they need to have the extra blocker in there, because they still seem to value that on the team. So he's going to be around. He's going to get some snaps out there. Not necessarily carries, but he is going to get some action, I think. You know, we'll let that – that's a question for much later on. But it still comes down to this whole disconnect that I think is just – hurting this team, that you've got the coaches who clearly want to go out and win games. That's what it's all about for them. And an ownership that just doesn't seem to be all in on that.
I mean, that's that I was just about to say, that's where the mixed messaging started, right?
Yeah. It did.
All in, but won't bring in great, for, you know, big free agents, right?
Yeah,
fully committed to this season, but won't extend your quarterback beyond this year. Fully committed to Dak Prescott, mind you, but won't extend him beyond this year. Fully committed to the head coach, but won't extend him beyond this year. And that's where I say, like, the waffling aspect of it is what I can't stand. They're leaving themselves open for the possibility that they'll be left with something at the end of it. And what I fear, Tom, what I think is the inevitability, unfortunately, is that they're ultimately going to be left with nothing. Rebuilding from scratch. And that doesn't put you in any better of a position. That doesn't put you any closer to your end result goal than you are today. Make no mistake about it.
Okay. Yeah. I can't argue with any of that. I just was thinking, I remember once upon a time, there was a big story about what the meaning of is, and you might recall those days, and we seem to be stuck in an endless cycle of debating what the meaning of all in is. And it's obvious that Jerry Jones is operating from his own unique dictionary. It's one of those days when all you really wish for is that he had just never said it in the first place, because in an organization where it's always a bit opaque, all he did was thoroughly muddy the waters.
Yeah, there's a word for it, Tom. It's called doublespeak.
Yes.
Using language that deliberately obscures or disguises or literally uses the reverse meaning of the words that you were using, somewhat in like a tongue-in-cheek type fashion or otherwise. And Jerry is famous for that.
Oh, yeah.
There are other entities that are famous for that, but particularly Jerry is notorious for it.
Yeah, notorious is probably the better term, because that's one of the reasons people flock to him, because they know that they're likely to get something very colorful. They're going to get something that's going to be controversial, even if it maybe he had no intention of it. He just seems to create controversy through his own twisted way of expressing things, and it's a very frustrating situation, because it's like we were talking about. We've seen so much of this stuff play out before. We've seen them dragging their feet on the contract negotiations. We've seen them depending on deadlines to make deals, usually not in the favor of the team, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. We've seen them create the animosity with a star player that leads to chaos at the beginning of training camp and stuff. And it's just, you just like, oh, I don't think that light there is the tunnel up ahead, because you just feel like we're about to have it roll over us one more time. It gets old. It's, you know, the Cowboys fan base has a unique kind of endurance. There are fan bases who endure years and years of futility, and somehow there's a core that seems to hang on. With the Cowboys, it's not absolute futility. It's that kind of marginal futility that we keep dealing with. And we keep seeing that spring from how this team has been run now for going on 3 decades. And it's just like, why are we doing this? And I'll put it very simply. There is a total lack of self-awareness on the part of of Jerry and Stephen Jones to see how they contribute to the problems that continue to plague the Cowboys. And if they don't even see it, if they, I think, are just, you know, fundamentally unable to face that reality, all we can do is wait for the cycle of history to repeat itself, because they're not learning a thing.
I do think in that regard, all we can also do is continue to speak about the ills and what truly ails the Cowboys. This conversation began about the decision surrounding Dak Prescott, but it is not about Dak Prescott. All right. You can cut down the tree. You can mow the lawn, but if you are not pulling it up by its roots, it's going to grow back in the same grotesque form that it has before. And unfortunately for the Cowboys, while they do hear the criticisms about every other aspect of their organization, when fans are upset with the head coach, they are very hyper aware of it. When fans are upset with their quarterback's play or their defense or their coordinators, they are hyper aware of all of those things. But for some reason, when it comes to what is truly the problem, what it all goes back to, which is the decision-making at the very top that in the end they truly have staunchly refused to adjust over a 30-year period, it's all we can do. It's all we can do. And the fan base has to be on board with it as well. You know, everybody's always talked about how do you send a message. Unfortunately, I don't know how you send a message, because if the Joneses only ever care about their pocketbook, then I got news for you. Like, we could talk until we're blue in the face. We're not really ever having a negative effect on that.
No, fans still go out and buy the swag. They still turn out at AT&T Stadium and pack the seats. They still pay for the overpriced drinks and concessions. And
even if they didn't, the Joneses would have a million other ways to make money anyway. They wouldn't miss it. So
yeah, that is the sad truth. It's a case of their success is interfering with their success.
Yeah. And until that changes, which we don't have a whole lot of hope for, hey, we'll continue to cover the Cowboys as best we can and talk about the items that we can address within the confines of the circumstances. But we have to implore you to remember what is ultimately holding this thing back. That's a dire way to end it, Tom. But hey, we'll keep you up to date, of course. A little burp there. We'll keep you up to date, of course, if Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook wind up signing. Something to get excited about. I would like a signing here before the draft takes place. But hey, the next time we record this, Tom, we are looking forward at the NFL draft. We'll take a look at some of the positions you and I think the Cowboys will be targeting. I've got some specifically in my mind that with those value positions, like, they have to take at least two of these three positions. They have to take them in the first three rounds. So
I think we could name two and be dead on, but we'll save that for next time.
Again, though, we want to get your take on it as well. If you've got a rant to give us, or you've got something to pop off regarding the Cowboys and their ownership situation or their decision with Dak Prescott, maybe you're happy about it. Maybe you feel like this is finally the way out, right? The Cowboys are biting the cat bullet. And I think there's a small argument to be made in that, Tom, and just to say that, like, if you truly believe Dak can never get it done, then, hey, like, you have to bite the bullet and eventually move on. But I implore people to remember, that is not going to be move on from Dak in a year you're competing. Really, that's probably not going to be move on from Dak and 2-3 years you're competing. It is going to be an arduous journey, a trek, if you will, if the Cowboys ultimately do decide to move on from Dak Prescott to get them back into a place that, you know, he has had them pretty consistently for the time he's been the starting quarterback. So for Tom, I'm Roy. You guys stay riled up on the Cowboys, and we will see you next Thursday.